We thank you how you're working in our lives this morning, O Lord. O Lord, we thank you even for the freedom that we may worship your name in this place. And Lord, we want to, as a church, continue to pray for our family members, O God, for the ones who are sick at this present time, for the ones who are not with us, so they're at the residence or at the, Father, wherever they may be, at a hospital. But Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that your mighty hand will visit that individual right now in Jesus' name. And sense the presence of God and your spirit upon them, O God. Lord, we want to be sensitive to you, to your spirit, to your direction upon our lives, O God. In your name we pray. Father, and as when our hearts are being ready to receive from your word, let our hearts and our ears accept these words, O Father, from your word, an active word, O God, and that we may apply it to our lives, O Father. And then when we leave this place, we will never be the same. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. It's nice to see you all this morning in the house of God. If it's the first time you're here at the New Hope Christian Assembly, we welcome you, and we just pray that you are enjoying the presence of God and enjoying the family of God together with us. So I just want to say welcome, and online, we just want to say welcome to every one of you who are watching online, and it may just be encouraged as you are going to hear from God's word, and as you've been encouraged also when you sung these wonderful songs and this praise and worship. We want to give God the glory, honor, and praise. The team did an awesome job this morning in leading us into praise and worship. Isn't that true, church? Oh, that was pretty weak. Isn't that true, church? Amen, amen. Amen. But before, it doesn't end this way, because I had this at heart this past week to do this, and it won't end like this. Something is going to happen this morning, and there's something that it was across my heart this past week, and I've sensed this heaviness upon people's lives, and I sense there are people that are having walls, and they're just putting that wall in front of them that they don't have this way of freedom to worship the Lord, or they can't even hear from God because there's a wall that is protecting them to hear from God. So I had this heaviness upon my heart this past week, and I wanted to do something different this morning. And I know that New Hope Christian Assembly loves to sing and loves to shout. And we're going to do something different this morning. And you will see when we're going to do something different as a church, as in unity, as in one voice, you will see the walls will just drop and crumble down in your life because of the power of shout, the power of praise. That is so amazing when we just praise our Lord and Heavenly Father. When we praise Him with all our heart, with all our spirit, with all our strength, walls will just crumble and crumble and crumble. But if you have not done that this morning, I will encourage you to do so this morning, as you're going to give a shout of praise unto the Lord. And when you shout a praise unto the Lord, you will just believe by faith those walls will just crumble and crumble and crumble. And this is what we're going to do. Before I get into the word this morning, Joshua 6 verse 20. Watch this, and you got to understand something is extremely important here. I tried to ask for a live trumpet, but there was no one that had a trumpet in this place. But I want to show you something. When the trumpet sounded, the key of the trumpets is important, or else it wasn't going to be written there. There was a trumpet sounded. The people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. Everyone on their feet this morning. And we're going to do something different this morning. And you're going to hear a trumpet a trumpet right now. They're going to put on the sound. And when that trumpet just stops, I want to hear every single one of us this morning give a shout of praise unto the Lord and believe by faith those walls are going to fall. Those walls are going to crumble. If it's done in the past, it will do in the present and it will do in the future. So let's hear that trumpet call. And when that trumpet sounds, you will start to shout praise. And don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Don't look around. Just be in the presence of God and start shouting out. One more. Yes, Lord! Start shouting to the Lord! Start shouting to the Lord! Praise Him! One more time! Louder! Believe it! Praise! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, let me hear that trumpet again. And you start praising again this morning. Let me hear that trumpet call. Those walls will tremble. Those walls will crumble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let those walls tremble, Lord. Hallelujah. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. All you people of saints, shout to the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. And we're going to do that so often and often. And we're going to shout praise unto the Lord. Because there's walls that try to put us down. But those walls will crumble. Those walls will crumble. And when we shout praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How do you feel this morning? Don't you feel better? We just call out on the God Almighty. Amen. Yes, sister.
Lord, I just want to say this morning. This is the Holy Spirit in confirmation. I'm having a battle. I came here this morning with a battle of heaviness. I'm having a battle in my prayer life. Every time I reach out to prayer, there is something that is hindering me. There is something. I'm going through a spiritual warfare, not funny, and it's for a while now, and it's like it's getting worse to enter my prayer. So I know He's the Holy Spirit. Speak to the pastor this morning. I know.
Amen. Shout of praise this morning. God has crumbled those walls. Those walls has crumbled. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't even know where to start anymore. But God is good. And I'm just trusting in the Lord this morning. Amen? Before I go through the scriptures this morning, I do have one announcement to share. As I'll announce it at the end of the service because I want to keep this atmosphere. You know that with the last couple of weeks, we spoke about the church and we spoke about the first message that God has placed upon my heart and on the church's heart is God's vision for the church. And then we looked at God's vision for a New Hope Church. And now we're going to look at my plan for our church. And these are just plans that I want to share with you where God wants to lead us. It's basically just to reaffirm make something more solid that is already existing in today in this church, a New Hope Christian Assembly. So I want to share this with you, and I want you to feel my heart and where I'm trying to lead this church with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, with the guidance of God. Because if I can just lead it in my own strength, it's not going to work. It has to be guided by God, and it has to be guided by the Spirit of God to take the right steps and to go to, remember we spoke last week, to another level, to a higher level, closer to God and to this world and to society, that that society who just need God and who are just searching for peace. And we've just touched that in the past couple of weeks. And today I want to conclude on the series of the church. And then next week, just already God has placed already in my heart to speak about next week. And you should come prepared already next week. You should come prepared every single week. But God has prepared my heart for next week. And we're going to speak about the promises of God. And I want to bring out 5 promises of God that we'll be sharing here this next week in here in the church. And I want to encourage you to go on out and text someone and do something, tweet someone and write it on Facebook. And I want you to encourage someone to come on out, because we're going to believe in those 5 promises. And I can tell you right now, by if we have that faith and we just trust and believe in God, you will see miracles next week. You will see people transform. You will see people healings, because I believe in that. I'm not preaching a dead God. I'm not preaching a God who is dead. I'm preaching a God who is alive today and who is active today. It's when we call upon the name of Jesus. When we call upon the name of Jesus, all of us shall be saved. When we go to the cross, when we experience the power of God, when we experience the power of God, you will see healings and transformations. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm so excited for next week. I'm so excited for next week, and I do encourage you to start praying this week. You start praying after the service and start believing what God will do next week. Believe by faith, God will do great and mighty things. Oh, I was getting excited there. Let's go to the last part here. Part 3, my plan for our church. It's not going to be one of these services or sermons that I'm going to be running back and forth, but I just want to be a simple message that I want to share with you this morning. The last 2 weeks we spoke about God's vision for that church, our church, and now it's my plan for this church, always guided by the Spirit of God. See, I don't want to be a me church. I want to be a church where Jesus' name is lifted high. The Bible says, and I will, and I, when I'm lifted up from earth, when I'm lifted up from earth, watch this, when I'm lifted up from earth, will draw all people to myself. When his name is lifted high, it's not a me church, but when his name is lifted high, people will be drawn to the power of God. People will be drawn to the presence of God. And this is the kind of church New Hope will be. We're going to praise and we're going to shout the Almighty God. We're going to give Him praise every day of our lives. And when we get together, His name is lifted high. Through praise, through worship, through fellowship, through communion, His name is lifted high. Through the preachings, His name will always be lifted high. That is the key, and that's the most important thing that you and I must understand. That if Jesus' name is not lifted high, there's nothing is going to happen. And we have seen in the churches today, people not even open their Bibles and they don't even speak about Jesus anymore. But this is not that kind of church. This is a church that Jesus' name is lifted high. We're going to go back to our roots. We're going to go back to the past, and how we've came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior is by shouting praise to Him. Oh, Lord, help us to be that church again. We are that church. New Hope is that church. So we're going to look at Acts 2, verses 41 to 47. It's a well-known text. We have heard it many times, but there's 10 things that I want to share with you this morning, and I will go briefly to the 10 things. Ask yourself this question and examine yourself right now this morning. In the last couple of months, did the church grow or not? When was the last time you brought a person to Jesus? When was the last time you led someone to Christ as their personal Savior? Since last week or month, ask yourself this question: did I grow spiritually? Did I spend more time with God in prayer? Have I read the scriptures the way I'm supposed to read the scriptures? And lastly, did your friend or your brother or sister grow since last year or last month or even last week? Ask yourself this question. Say, have we really grown? But when we look at Acts 2, we will see there's key elements that a church will always do. There's four things that we're going to look at that is fundamental in the truth, and we're going to have to stick with that. Every church must have that. But there's also other ones that I want to add to it. And we want to be a church, a successful church, a church that will win souls for Christ. That is a successful church for me. That is pretty weak. We want to be a church, a successful church that will lead people to Christ. Isn't that the most important thing of our life? There's still a lot of empty seats here. They can be filled. There's a lot of chairs downstairs. We can put down the aisle. I believe in that. I believe in that. Now, Acts 2, verse 41 to 47. Let's look at it together. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and in the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and teach, and doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in prayers. You see, just go back there for a second. Verse 42. See, there's four things that we're going to look at later on. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, one. The fellowship, two. The breaking of the bread, three. And the prayer, four. Those are the most important things that church should have. And this church has it. But we're going to reinforce those things. And we're going to get it stronger and stronger and stronger. Go on, verse 43. And fear came upon them and every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Here it is. Praising God, and had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, such as they should be saved. So there are 10 things that we're going to look at there. You must have not looked at, but there's 10 key things that we need to look at in those verses today. So the early church was a very successful church. It grew in numbers and it grew in a spiritual way. See, a generous and a growing church. There's one thing that I want to bring out there. The first and the most important thing is this. The impression. The New Hope Christian Assembly has to have a great impression. Now, what do I mean that? Now, you know, it usually makes up our mind of about 10 seconds to a person to enter in this place. It takes 10 seconds for a person to come into that place, and they will really sense if it's the right place for them, yes or no. Have you ever heard of the impression? You only have one opportunity to make a good first impression. So New Hope Christian Assembly will have the greatest impression. When people will enter into New Hope Christian Assembly, we must be prepared to have the best impression so they would feel at home. That is the most important thing. Now, to get the best impression, I'm going to add in some other things here and some salt and pepper together here. You got to be on time. Oh, Lord. Ooh, that's pretty powerful, huh? Did I step on anybody's toes? But you know something? If you're not even on time, you could lose out on the presence of God. And we can look through the scriptures, and maybe one day I'll share about that. Timing was extremely important. If the people weren't at the right time to see Jesus, something, they would have lost out on the presence of God, or they were lost out of a miracle. So timing is extremely important. So to have a good impression, if there's no one in the church and the service starts at 10:30 and no one comes in, what kind of impression does it give it to them? This is a boring church here. What's happening? You got that? So, no. This is the second one is even more amazing. Smile. So if there's no smiling when you come in the church, you're going to say, this is a dead church. Smile. I know there's struggles. I know we have the heaviness sometimes we have on our hearts because of situations of home and, you know, whatever happens, the bills come left and right and our situation or our family members and our kids or our coworkers, and we just come in defeated. But let me tell you something. The moment you step in those doors, put that defeated aside for a moment. Just smile. You might say, that's hypocritical. No, you smile. Just smile. Because we're in the house of God. We're going in the house of God, so we must give that first impression pretty good, huh? But if we have that sad face, you're going to say, this is a, the bad church here. And they will walk away. So New Hope Christian Assembly, we will have the good first impression. Now, I'm going to touch someone else's toes this morning. Lord, help me. Once in a while, if you're shy, break that shyness. Get out of that pew for once and go greet someone and say, welcome to the house of God. But don't be like this. Look in the eyes because you're shy. And I know some people are shy and it's hard for them, but take courage. Take that step. Try it. You'll see. Oh, I'm going to touch someone else's toes. Once in a while, even change your pews. Don't sit always in the same place. Change once in a while that you'll be with somebody else. Did I touch somebody's toes? No, huh? We're still okay, huh? Thank God. Oh, I saw that tomato flying. You know, God is going to work. And a New Hope Christian Assembly must also be ready for this also. Watch this. Acts 15:19. This should not cause any difficulties. When someone will enter into the kingdom, will enter into a church, they should not, we should not make them feel difficult for them. These are backslidden people who come to know Christ again. These are people who are coming out of addiction. These are people who are struggling that are coming back to the house of God. And this is a place where we must demonstrate our love. We must demonstrate our peace to them. The only way you're going to have a successful church is following the old, is following the church in the past. And they were successful because they followed the scriptures. They followed the teachings of Christ. And the teachings of Christ are not to harm us, but to help us. So in Acts 15:19, look at this. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. There are people who are going to turn to God, and you have to make them feel at home. You know, sometimes you heard people say, I entered into that church because all my, the sin, and I was an addict, or I had a situation, and I came in, but I felt so uncomfortable. It is not us to judge. But it's us to demonstrate the love and the peace to them who are turning to God. That's the key. If they're turning to God, do us all our best, New Hope. Do all our best to do that. If it feels cold, they're not going to come back. They're not going to come back. And we ask ourselves, why don't they come back no more? But examine ourselves. Was I the right person? Was I doing what the scripture told me to do? Did I get out of my comfort zone and just greet someone? Did I smile with that individual? That's the questions you got to ask yourselves. Did I get out of my pew and just sit somewhere else? So I know next week some of you might change spots. And that's good. This chair does not belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to someone who wants to serve Christ and who wants to worship the Lord. So wherever it may be, it doesn't matter. Sit here, Anthony, once in a while. I would love if someone sits beside me here once in a while and encourages me before I go up. the pressure. The enemy will do everything in his power to shut my mouth to not speak the truth. But you know how it is when someone just says, keep on, brother. Keep on, brother. We're here to hear the voice of God. We should not cause any difficulties. Oh, Lord, help us. Number two, prayer is important. You know that we have prayer, corporate prayers, and we also have intercessory prayer on Saturdays. Now, I know that every one of you, some people might be busy, but the most important thing is, one, is you have this life in prayer with Christ. That's the most important thing. But it's extremely also as important, they were united together. They were united together. So there are times, corporate prayer, that we do once a month. I encourage you to step on out and come. If you have nothing to do on that on that Wednesday, I mean, nothing to do. I mean, yeah, you don't work, because we all have to cook and we all have to clean our homes and we all have to do things like that. But if you just going to say, I want to stay home and raise my legs and put it on a sofa and watch TV, I would encourage you, just come on out instead. And on Saturdays, in intercessory prayer, we have a group of people that come here. And Sister Delphine is responsible for that. And they come here and they pray intercessory prayers. And they pray for their family members. And they pray for the church. They're praying for us. It's amazing to know that someone's actually praying for us. And they pray and they pray and they pray for God to move and move. So I do encourage you to come on out on those events. This church has it. So let's take it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It's in there. They were devoted to prayer. And Paul wrote to the Roman brethren, be constant in prayer. And Paul also wrote to the brethren in Colossians, continue steadfastly in prayer. It's like one of the key elements that you and I need in our walk with Christ. That's when we pray, that's when we see miracles. That's when you see families united. That's when you see couples united again. When marriages are broken, God places together. That's when you see prodigals, sons and daughters coming to Christ again. That's where you see transformations, healings, is when we pray. So New Hope Christian Assembly is a church of prayer. Because the Bible says, my house is what? A house of prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer. New Hope is going to be called a house of prayer. So I encourage you, if you have never taken that step of coming out on a Wednesday or coming out on a Saturday, I encourage you to do so. Third thing, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. The context of this verse, that is, in that Peter had preached his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus, and they were added into the kingdom of God. And this was the beginning of the church. So in Acts 2:42, we have read it many times, one of the things that the early church did was devote themselves to the apostles' teachings. And I like the way Forerunner Commentary states this verse. They devoted to the apostles' doctrine. In the first century, this was the faith once delivered. It means they were constant. It wasn't just one time a year. They devoted to the scriptures daily. It wasn't once a week. They devoted daily. So I encourage every single one of us to take the word of God daily. Though it was one verse or two verses or one chapter, whatever it is, take the word of God daily. That is your spiritual food. You and I will die if you don't have that. It has all the answers for your life. In my life, it has all the answers. We're looking for direction. It's there. We're looking for God to answer our prayer. And how do we go about it? It's there. We're looking at a situation that has in our family, in our homes, in our children. It's there. In our marriages, it's there. It's all there. So we must constantly going to the doctrine, going to the Word of God, and applying to our lives. In New Hope Christian Assembly, this place is going to be a place that the Word of God is always going to be taught, is always going to be preached. And we're going to start Bible studies. We're going to start. The men's fellowship is there. The women's fellowship is there. We're going to do Bible studies inside those. We're going to just work on those things and allow the Word of God to speak more and more. Even though they're there, thank God for Brother Ed and Sister Mary Jane as they take over those things, those departments. I mean, they take their time to prepare themselves. So I encourage you to go on out and take a time and listen to God's Word. Listen to God's Word. You will see what it applies to our lives. And not only that, and when we're deeply convicted by the Holy Spirit, and when we're touched by the power of God, and when we're touched by the Word of God, they were taught, being taught of all the teachings of Jesus. They were disciples. Now a church will not grow if we don't make disciples. We need to make disciples. But if you don't read the Word, how could you make disciples? If you don't pray, how can we get disciples? If you want the Word to be spread out in this world, we need to make disciples and to go out in this world. We need each one of us here to go out in our workplace, in our schools, wherever that we go, and be a disciple of Jesus and allow God to work in the lives of people. The Great Commission and the church is given us in Matthew 28. It's a well-known verse. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples in all nations. So we are New Hope. We're going to be a church who will make disciples to go out in this world. So what comes to your mind when you think about Jesus' command to make disciples of all nations? Many read these words as they were meant to inspire pastors and missionaries. No, it's not just for me. It's not just for missionaries. It's for every one of us here to make disciples. They reached out to people around them, calling them to be obedient, following Jesus. And some of them even moved to different areas and traveled around so they can tell more people about Jesus. So this church is going to be a church who will make disciples. Four, fellowship. Oh, we love fellowship. We love to eat our jerk chicken and our rice. We love to eat all that stuff. And we enjoy our potato salad and all these things that the Caribbeans do and the West Indies do and all this food. We love to get together. And I notice when we say there's food, the church is filled. It's amazing how food can gather people together. And everybody just get together. And we get excited. Yes, it's important to have fellowship in that sense. One form. Jesus used food to get people together. But there's more to that. Into fellowship. Do you realize that how many people who start coming to church do connect with other people? The fellowship with the food is important, but another fellowship to get to know the person is extremely other important. Now, I'm going to step on other people's toes. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. Think of it for a moment. Have you invited someone to your Thanksgiving dinner? Christmas is just around the corner because it's very cold here, so it's getting closer to Christmas. Did you invite someone to your place for Christmas? Or did you invite someone for a coffee last week or this week or next week? Are you going to invite someone? That's fellowship too. The church grew in numbers because they fellowshiped in that way, not just in a gathering at New Hope Christian Assembly, but they came out of their comfort zone and invite someone over to the place. And they get to know each other, and they spoke to each other, and they encourage each other as the Scripture tells us that it's not giving up meeting together, as some in their habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. There's not enough time in a church to encourage someone, because we come here, the doors open, we praise, we sing, we start dancing a little bit, we hear the preachings, and we go. But that little second say, brother, you want to come over for Christmas or you like to come over for Thanksgiving can make a big impact in that person's life. Because you know what it is? When we have our families, we just care about our families. This is true. our kids, our children, our spouse, our spouses. You know, we have all that. And we forget the one who is alone. We forget the one who is a widow. But they need the same fellowship that we need fellowship. But God has given us that. It was biblical. It's not me saying it. It's biblical. Fellowship. Selling their possessions, one another, and helping each other. Now, I'm not going to tell you, go sell your Ferrari and start giving me the money. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying spending time together. Though maybe even a small little meal or a coffee can make a big impact in that person's life. And that's how the church will grow. We got to go back in the old times. The old times, church grew because of that. They met together in one place. They met together at their homes. Not attacking what the pastor said. Oh, Lord. Not attacking or criticizing what he said or how long, how short, how bald he is or whatever it is. Or he's not good, he's not eloquent, he's not preaching enough or not strong enough. No, not that. But you get together and you get together and worship the one true God and fellowship together. That was a little pretty weak because some of them said yes and some of them said, should I clap or not? Another thing, the breaking of the bread. Number five was the breaking of the bread. Then this new Christian saw communion as a central and the most important part of the worship to God. As we know, they were to remember what Jesus has done. New Hope Christian Assembly, do this once a month. Here we just get together as the communion, as the Holy Supper, and we remember what Christ has done for you. But you know what, I have to tell you something, sometimes it's even sad. We have a once a month and we have a hard time to come out on that day. That day is important, as every other day is important, but we're celebrating, we're doing something, we're remembering what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. And we take it so lightly, so when you hear communion, you prepare yourself and say, I'm going to communion next Sunday, whatever it is that's going to stop me, but I'm going because I want to be reminded what Jesus has done for me. It's extremely important that we do that. And New Hope does that. But I want to encourage you to step on out. If you didn't come in the last couple of Holy Suppers, the last communion, come on out that day if you're not working. And just come on out, and then we're going to start praying. If you work those days, we're going to start praying that God will shut those doors on the Sunday, that you will come to church on Sunday morning and give you another day of overtime. Isn't that better? So, remembering Christ's death for all sinners. Remember that Christ has placed his life for them, for us. Remember the blood that he shed on the cross for us is extremely important, and New Hope will do. And we do that. And I want to encourage you to step on out. If you haven't come in the last one, be ready. We're going to have one next month. And come on out. And if let me hear an amen. Wow, we're going to be 120 next month. That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. Because your man says, yeah, I'm confirming that I'll be there. Oh. Next thing, all the people, point six, all the people. Now, praising God in verse 47 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their name, to the number daily, those who are being saved. Now, all the people, he did not look at, he was not selective if he had a tie or not. He did not select if he had earrings or not. They were not selective what kind of nationality they come from, or big, or small, or rich, or poor. There's no all people. Now, and when people will come into this place, it's not just going to be Italians. It's not just going to be Caribbeans. It's not going to be just Africa. It's going to be all people. And that's how the church will grow, when it's all people united with one goal, with one purpose, to glorify God. Isn't it better when everybody gets together with all the people, with different nationalities? Look at this. It's not just one. It's all people. So New Hope is doing that. But we're going to strengthen that. And we're going to go stronger and stronger. And when someone comes in, we don't even look at the color. We don't even look at where they come from. We're just going to say, welcome to the house of God. And let's be ready to receive from God. All people. All people. What's our vision? Did you look at the website? The people of New Hope will uphold and strengthen the traditional families and God's biblical ideal while loving and embracing non-traditional families and singles. That means all the people. Every age, seniors, young, old. You know how important if someone is old who can teach someone young how to be a woodworker, or someone young how to paint, or someone young how to draw. Isn't that amazing when all the people get together? We learn together. When I need something to do around my garden, I don't have a garden yet, but I go to my dad, and my dad to teach me how to do something in the garden. He has the experience. And it's the same thing in the spiritual sense around the church. There are people within the church who are serving the Lord for many, many, many years. And we can go, the young people can go there and learn from them. As the older ones that has their age and their past, they can help out the younger ones. Isn't that amazing? As we do something like that, a program like that, that the seniors wait for the young people to come in and just teach them how to do things. Woodworking, electrician, plumbing, whatever it is. God help us to have all the people. Watch this, point number 7. Youth and young adults must be strengthened in this church. And that is my first thing that I'm going to look at. We have Hussein, Brother Hussein, and Sister Shanique that will take care of the youth and young adults. And they do it here every second week. But we're going to strengthen that. Do you ever ponder and think if there is no... See, people, when I go into a church, sometimes people say, no, let's work on this first. Let's work on this first. That will come. No, my priority is youth and young adults first. I tell you why. Because if you no youth and no young adults, there'll be no church in 20 years from now. So my investment, our investment should be there. And we should encourage. We should bring them out, grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunts, mothers and fathers, whatever it is, you pay them $20, but drag them to church and bring them to the house of God, whatever it is, because this world is controlling our young people. Oh, Lord, help us. And we just woke us, it's okay, I like it like this. No, there must be change, and we must focus on that, and we must rely on the power of God to do great and mighty things. If it happened in the past, God would do it in the present. But we must start there. If there's no youth and young adults in a church, there'll be no church tomorrow. That's what I look at. If there's no children, there will be no youth after. And if there's no youth, there's no church. And where are the pillars? We don't want to be Christians or revolving doors that we come, he's no good, and we leave. No. A church, it's not me, the church. It's God. God, we are the body of Christ. And we get together. But our young people must be taught the Word of God. And we're going to go slowly and slowly. And I spoke to Brother Hussein and Sister Shanique that in the month of February, I want to do a youth retreat just for the young people. They go out camping in the 3 nights or 2 nights and get together. And if they have to play basketball, they'll play basketball together. And then they'll hear the Word of God together. Then they worship the Lord together. Isn't that great when the kids get together, the young kids get together? They're so pressured in this life of the enemy, of drugs and peer pressure. And the internet and so forth, and peer pressure from friends, and they're there. So my goal, my plan, and our plan as a church is to invest our time in the youth and the young adults of this church. To start off here, that's pretty weak, huh? We got to believe that. Look at this. If we just look around for a moment, look at it. Every young person here got up for a second until the age 22. Let's all stand for a moment. Under 22. Don't get excited, guys. Don't everybody. You're not 22. You're past that. Look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That is a youth service. Can we? And there's more out there. So parents, grandparents, encourage them to go to church. That's all I have to say for that now. Next. Maybe seated. Thank you. See you on Friday. Brother Hussein, Sister Shanique, be ready. Next thing. 8, stewardship. I'm almost done. Acts 2, verse 45. They sold property and possession to give to everyone who had need. Stewardship is an ethic and then embodies that responsible planning of management of the resources. This is a great location, a great facility. And our responsibility as a church is to pay off our debt first, so we can have access to do more and more for this community. If there is no funds, we can't have programs. We need funds to have programs, so people can hear the gospel of Christ. We need to build something, a place, whatever it is. Now, and I go back years ago, and some of you might not know half of my story. How long do I have usually here? Because I always stop around 12:05, 12:10 the most. But if you please, I just want to just finish a couple of points here this morning, and then we can go on something else next week. Years ago, when I was pastoring at Emmanuel Church, there was a very small debt in the church at that present time. So the stewardship, I'm saying, they managed their money in a different way. They said, let's purchase a restaurant. So they purchased a restaurant not for the members of the church to go eat every day and have free coffee and just sit down and relax. It was a place, it's called a nonprofit organization. It's called the Lighthouse of Montreal North. You can Google it if you want. It's still there today. It's called the Lighthouse of Montreal North. And we fed 450 families per week. So we gave free breakfast and free lunch every day. That is amazing to see. Now, you might say, but that's a big church. Yeah, it's 100 steps ahead of us. It doesn't matter. But we can have a vision in doing something else in a smaller scale. Am I right? We must start somewhere. The first time the church bought something, they bought a little thing, a little place, and they started small there. And it became bigger. We started the church first in a little place, and then it went to a bigger restaurant. And obviously, after that time, I was the director of that place, and I had 80 volunteers. You know what's 80 volunteers? It's this church. Coming there and spending their time day after day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, feeding them, giving them food, giving them, everything was free. There was donations coming in for every corner that I never even imagined. We started that place, there was nothing. But we believed in God. When you had that vision, the church had that vision, we supported the pastors and we said, let's go. We believed and God did it. And today it's still running today. And then we build inside that place, not just giving food, but we give them educational services. We involve the universities to come in and teach them how to prepare resumes, how to cook. And I got these people that were taking this place, that they were coming in and to eat for free. Then I involved them to be the chef. Then I involved them to go pick up food. Then I involved them to do other things. And we used that in a way, a tool. And people came to know Jesus Christ because of that tool. And there was baptism in the church after that because people repented. There was a man that was 25 years in prison that had killed 2 cops. And one morning he was just walking by that place, and I stopped by and I looked at him. It was another volunteer to stop by and looked at him and says, listen, you can come here, it's for free. So he walked in, and the first person he connected was with me, and I sat down with him. You know what I did with him? Every 3 times a week I used to read the scriptures with him because he didn't know how to read. But he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He was a volunteer for that place. He was baptized. And you see a transformation in that person's life because of that tool. Because we believed in that vision and we went. Church, when we're in a place of vision, we're just going to go together and believe what God's going to do. I'm not going to come and put you something big or build a tower of a Pisa or something. No, we're going to do something that's tangible, that is easy, a step, and we're going to just believe and God's going to move. Yes, Lord. And he's going to do it. But we need the unity together to do that. It's not a one-man show. It's not me, church. It's a church that will glorify God. The next thing is a missional church. I'm almost done. A missional church. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and added the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. A missional church. This church will be a missional church in the local, in here, in our community, and also outside, international. We're going to try to build missions in a team that will go out and travel and preach the gospel all over the world. If you have never taken that step and went out on a mission field, my encouragement, we're going to do so. But it takes time. We're going to prepare ourselves together and look for the funds and raise our funds to go out and preach the gospel. In our minds, we just grow. It flourishes when we go out and do something for God in that capacity. This church is going to be a missional church. A church that we're going to evangelize the gospel of Jesus Christ. Evangelism is not a mandate. Is a mandate. It's not an option. It's biblical. And we must be that church. We're going to do evangelistic services. We're going to believe in that. And believe God's going to work. We're going to go out and evangelize to the community to allow people to experience the power of God. They're not going to experience the power of God if we're just going to sit in our pews and warm up our pews and stay in the house of God. We must go out and preach in the gospel. It can be through a picnic. It can be through anything it is. It can be through door to door. It can be through singing in a corner street. It can be through anything that we're going to do to evangelize and to preach the gospel to every creature, to every person, to all the people, not just one nationality, to all the people that need to know the power of God and need to experience the presence of God. New Hope will impact this community. And I want to encourage everyone to get up and do it and go. It is a mandate. And go and evangelize my word. It is go. It doesn't say if you feel up to go, go. We're going to take those opportunities and do it. And our church, this church, God's church, will grow. And the last thing is, and we're going to conclude with this after, because I think it's going to be a good way to conclude this, is we're going to praise God. Because look at this verse 47. Praising God. And then enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Now those are 10 small things that I've looked at. There's many things that we need to look at. The vision. You know, we want to look at a vision. Where do you want to go? What is it that you want to go? But remember, it takes a step at a time. I got to hear from God. I cannot research this. I cannot hear from someone. But these first months, maybe the first year, it is my time to get to know the people, to get to know the giftings and the talents and all around. And then together, and when I hear from God, I don't want to move. Those are little things if you want to do a program. But wherever you want to go, if you want to be a church, a missional church, for example, that the DNA of the church is missionary, and everybody knows this church about that, we're going to go that direction. I don't know. I'm just waiting upon God to direct me and to guide me, because I want to take the right steps before God. I don't want to take my own steps. Remember, it's not a me church. It's God's church. So to this morning, we're going to conclude with one last song. And we're going to go home singing, God is good all the time. Brother, can you please come? We're going to sing that song one more time. I just pray that I just encouraged you through this series on the church. And I pray that you will continue in working together in harmony and unity and love for the purpose to bring glory to God. And then I'm just going to sing this song together. Get excited. And then we're just going to conclude with the word of prayer as we go home after later on. So my prayer is even next week. Prepare your heart starting today for next week and believe in those promises of God. God will do something amazing in our lives next week. So I encourage you to do so. Let's sing that